Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are live from the Ketches Law Studios. No fee unless you win. Rich, certainly. Ken Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. And you can give us a call at 617-779-7937. That right there is an interesting clip that you just played from Brian Windhorst, because like I'm starting to think that the theory now is that they look at life with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. If you're stuck with the two, they're thinking to themselves, or at least ownership is, saying, we know these two are not good enough to beat the Knicks. And we're stuck in the situation where they're our guys, we're not going to be able to win, we might as well cut expenses and get rid of a guy who's going to be demanding $70 million a year for his extension. Doesn't it feel like that? Doesn't it feel like ownership saying, you know what, the Giannis thing, we were behind, because we'll pay those two contracts because we know that there's a shot there that these guys can win. But if not, then we're not going to sit here and watch you like basically run on a gerbil wheel and not be able to win a championship with these two guys, because I don't think you're good enough.
It's kind of like, remember the Red Sox were in on Juan Soto and they would have had to pay him like $700 million, and we were like, what? Mm-hmm. And John Henry basically said, well, some guys are the exception. So this is the Celtics saying, yeah, we were in it for Giannis. Now we failed, it's a slingshot year, Rich. It's a gap year. Mm-hmm.
They're pivoting.
We're getting onto that apron.
Ted, doesn't it feel like that? Because, I mean, the minute I heard them saying the four first-round picks, I was like, oh, geez. Then they obviously, they're going to try to drop, they're going to try to lower the, because we don't know anything about these owners. We don't know if they're cheap. We don't know, like, whether they're big spenders. It sure sounds to me as if they realize that if they're stuck with those two, they realize they're not going to win, so you might as well save some cash.
Yeah, that's a good point. I can see that. I mean, that's a dangerous game, though. I mean, you got to, because if that, any whiff of that, I just think the fans are going to turn on you. I mean, you just got here, Mr. Owner. You know, he just started owning this team, and so I think you got to be very careful about that. But yeah, that's kind of what it looks like. Unless, like what, you know, Ken just said, though, you know, you get the draft picks and then use those to get, you know, a player of value. I can't imagine pivoting to that, where you start just, you know, getting young draft picks when Jason Tatum is in his prime. That is, I can't imagine Jason Tatum being cool with that.
You think they're worried about his injury? Like maybe he's not, it's going to take another year? Is that possible?
I don't think so. I thought when he came back, he looked like he didn't miss a beat. I know he missed that last game, but I thought he looked pretty good. I didn't see anything in his gait or the way he played that would suggest to me that he's not ready to go. He looked ready to go when he came back.
Let's do a quick reality check between the three of us. Which one of you guys thinks that if they are able to keep the two of them together and then do something along the lines of bring back Time Lord, you know, maybe trade Derek White for another piece that could be a little bit better, a little bit of an upgrade there. Do you think that there's a chance they can win a championship?
I don't. I see, you give me a more impactful offensive player as a big, like a Sabonis. You bring the Jays back with a Sabonis, I go, okay, all right. You don't have to give up Derek White or anybody else. I go, okay. I don't think Time Lord is the answer. I don't think he's from an offensive standpoint, he's not the guy. You need a guy that's going to put in, you know, 17, 20 points a night as a big and be a rim protector. That's not what Robert, you know, Williams is.
I wouldn't say that team necessarily would, but you at least go into the year, you're going to be a playoff team, and then you can adjust before the deadline. Especially if like the Knicks have an injury, or
that's a fair point. You always forget about the deadline in February. So that's always, you know, you might start out with a team that you're not, but then with the hopes that you can maybe get something at the trade deadline, like Ken's saying, to put you over.
All right, let's go to line one, Mike. What's happening, Mike? How's it going?
Hey, Mike.
Hey guys, how y'all doing today?
Good, man.
Good, bud.
So listen, this is going to be thinking outside of the box. So bear with me. I think two things the Celtics probably have to consider at this point. One is the problem, I don't think, is the players. I think it's a philosophy. I feel like that has to do with the coach. The three-point shooting is like something that we just had enough of as a Boston fans. We might need to consider having a veteran coach that can really reel in the reins. Somebody like Tom Thibodeau, who already knows the Knicks, might be a good fit. The second thing is the value for Jaylen Brown is shot to crap, as you already know. We might need to consider trading Tatum, because, listen, you're not going to get the value for Brown the best thing for the team, you can get something more of value with Tatum.
You know what, Mike? Thanks for the call.
That's
good
out
call.
Of the box. Out of the box.
It is out of the box. But I'm getting to the point where I actually believe that the Celtics are sick of him now. Like that they're sick of his, like the way he's been handling himself over the last couple of months. The pick and fights with Stephen A. Smith. The going on his Twitch stream saying it was the best season. I heard Justin Turpin this morning, and he covers this team. He's very close to some of the people there. It was his opinion, not from anything he heard, but it was his opinion that the Celtics are over it. That they are over Jaylen Brown and the way he's been handling himself.
And I think, Rich and Ken, I think that impacts winning and losing. People say, why would you get rid of a player? Okay, who cares what he says off the court? But I think what he says off the court impacts what happens on the court. It's subtle. You're not going to see it night to night, but crunch time in the playoffs, critical situations, I think those things matter. And there's, there's a hesitation. I don't want to pass it. There isn't like just the freewheeling kind of there's just a tension that is never going to leave if they're both together, especially after what happened this year. And I think that impacts winning and losing. So I think at the end of the day, I can see why the Celtics might want to get rid of him. Maybe you go, God, how do you get rid of a top 15 player? Well, if he's undermining the greater good, then I can understand why they would want to move on.
I'm sorry, Ken, real quick. Here's why that pisses me off as a Celtics fan, is because if they're deciding to move on from him, I love Jaylen Brown as a basketball player. As I said, I think he's getting unfairly crushed by people because of the things that he says and the way that he acts. I think that you forget how amazing a basketball player he is and how he truly deserved to be in the MVP conversation last season. And when he goes somewhere else, he is going to make the Celtics pay. He is going to have one of the best. He's going to have the best season he ever had, and who knows what else. It's going to be a revenge tour to show the world just how good he is. But the thing that pisses me off as a Celtics fan is I do believe that his behavior over the last couple of months has affected his trade value. And I think because he's acted this way, as a Celtics fan, you're not going to get back. You're going to get 50 cents on the dollar, it seems like. They're not going to get what a player of his caliber should be worth. And as a Celtics fan, that should piss you off.
Now, 203 text, Rich, says, I would take the Klingon deal and the four first-round picks from Portland. So Donovan Klingon, above-average center, played at UConn. He's 23. They have a ton of first-round picks because they got a bunch from Milwaukee and Orlando. I think they even have a Celtics first-round pick. So you would get what you need, which is a big man, a young guy to build around, and four first.
Stop. This pisses me off.
I'm just trying to look at possibilities.
No, Ken, I know this is not your fault, but what's pissing me off is that this team, at the beginning of last year, they won a championship 2 years ago.
Right.
At the beginning of last year, they were a championship contender. Ugh. You are selling your future. That means that you have no intention of winning a championship in the next couple of years.
No, Rich, you keep forgetting you can use those four first-round picks as to use in a trade to get a player. So it's not necessarily going to end up like a rebuild. So just, you got to understand that. So
but who are you going to get?
Klingon.
You see what I'm saying? It's like
Jones
it's like
said,
you
his
have...
nickname is Kling Kong. That's pretty good.
I mean, that's
he's
7'2". Yeah,
got a 9-foot-7-inch reach. He's a rim protector. Could be a DPOY of the future.
Well,
Rich.
Can we get some more offense out of him? Is he just a
I don't
primary...
know about that. I think
we need more offense.
He shuts down the paint.
We need more
it's
offense.
Like just how everything has just completely changed. It's now the philosophy is, let's get some pieces for the future. Jason Tatum is in his prime right now. He is a top player in the league. You need to have a team around him that's ready to win right now, or you've blown your job as a GM.
But over the weekend, did Jaylen help himself by tweeting at Bobby Marks, or did he hurt himself? it's every day
no,
that goes by.
No, he hurt
by,
himself. And that's why it pisses me off as a Celtics fan. Yeah. I wish, and this is like so beyond shut up and drivel. It's not that at all. People should be able to speak their mind. Mm-hmm. But what you're doing as a Celtics fan is you're killing your value.
Yeah.
Like if they are going to get rid of you, I want top dollar for you, Or just stay. Because you're pissing off the Celtics, apparently. And I'm starting to believe that the people who are saying that they've heard that the upper management isn't a fan of all of this. And that pisses me off, too.
Yeah.
Because we're all of a sudden we've gone from a contender to, hey, maybe in a couple years.
A rebuild. Basically, it's a rebuild.
And You know what? It's amazing. Is I thought maybe the way JB played, that the two guys would come back and they would see themselves differently. That they would be, I don't know. They could. I just thought maybe it would look different than it is. JB clearly, by having the season he had, is kind of like, I don't know, man. He's going off. He's losing it. He thinks now it's like, if you don't give me my respect now, then forget it. And it's like, dude.
That is the stunning part, because they're the betting favorite in the East, yeah. And yet it's like code red. It's like, right. DEFCON 5. They're blowing it up because it's why? We're not sure.
Yeah. Isn't that sad?
That's sad.
The sad part of it.
Well, I'll tell you this. If they trade them for picks, they're not the betting favorite in the East anymore.
No, definitely not.
No, they are not. Because I can name four teams that'll be better than them immediately. Mm-hmm. If they, even with Jason Tatum, this is a tough. It's going to be way tougher than you think, because a lot of teams are going to try to build up. It's an arms race. We see this all the time. And by the way, the Cavs are already a very good team. This is really concerning. As a Celtics fan, we're talking about building for the future. This team, Jason Tatum, should have a team around him right now to hopefully win a championship.
I don't think there's many trades they could make that would improve their odds from where they are right now.
No. I mean, they keep Jalen and figure something out. Like, out of all the options that are out there, because none of them are good, keeping Jalen is the best one.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yet they seem insistent on trying to get rid of him.
Right.
And I'm afraid it's because they're cheap. The ownership doesn't want to give him an extension down the road. They don't have to give him an extension now. Why not just deal with it? Just, you know, hey, man, you got 3 years on your contract. Stay here.
I can't imagine he's demanding an extension now. 3 years in advance? No way. I
mean, but if you guys had to guess by tomorrow night, is he gone?
I think he's still here, man.
Really?
I do.
It just feels unless there's a deal out there to get rid of him.
Who wants him? Is there a robust market for him? Doesn't feel like it.
Portland, Kalshi right now, 27% on Kalshi.
And Brad strikes me as a guy that doesn't want to get beat on a deal, like really beat.
That's true.
So
I think that's what has been said. The market is not robust unless he lowers the asking price.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. All right, we'll take your calls next. 617-779-7937. We're not going anywhere. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 93.7 WEI. Rich, Ken, and Ted Johnson. Dave Grohl's better on drums than behind a guitar. This album by Queens of the Stone Age, the one album he played on, he just kills it.
Why did he quit the drums? That's a good question.
Well, it's because he started the Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
He the first Foo Fighter albums, it's all him. Everything. Drums, bass, guitar, singing, and he got up there. Dave Grohl is a perfectly fine guitarist and singer. But that dude was born to play the effing drums. And there's certain guys who play drums who are not only technically good, but just look cool as hell doing it. Mm. Tommy Lee is one of those guys who was he was a very good drummer. He wasn't a great drummer, very good. But no one looked cooler than Tommy Lee from Motley Crue playing drums. And then Dave Grohl comes around.
What's the look for to be a cool drummer? What do you got to look like?
First of all, you have to beat the snot out of your drums.
Okay.
Like, you have to hit them hard.
Hit them hard.
Yeah, you got to hit them hard.
Long hair?
Not always long hair, but long. If it's not long hair, you got to give that face with your teeth. Teeth are showing.
Okay.
Where you have to lose your mind. And, yeah, there's certain drummers that just look freaking cool playing it.
Mm-hmm.
There's this one drummer that I knew that used to play on stage sideways. I don't know why he did it. But like every third beat he hit, the stick would hit the snare drum. It would flip in the air, and he would catch it and keep going as if it wasn't anything.
Now that's
and it
impressive.
Was like, it was awesome. Like sometimes it's fun to see a band that just gives zero Fs on how they sound, and it's all about how badass they look.
AC/DC had a bald drummer, Chris Slade, who had the bass drums hanging down by his ears, and he would hit them from one ear to the. I thought that was cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Not technically good, but it was fun.
He's like the human metronome.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
like, you know, that's AC/DC beats were never tough.
No.
But they were perfect.
That's it.
Didn't Slipknot's drummer, like, drum upside down? Wasn't there a band really? Whose drummer drummed upside
well,
down?
Well, Motley Crue used to put their, like, drum kit on basically a roller coaster, and he would strap in,
yes,
and it would
yeah.
go upside down, and it would roll over, and then there'd be times where he was in a cage where it would go over the crowd, and then it would go upside down when he was strapped in. Crue shows back in the day before Vince Neil got fat and before Mick Mars's bones started fusing into each other, they were like amazing. I remember being a kid, like borrowing this guy in the neighborhood's like video, and first of all, it was like the most insane thing you'd ever seen. They were like pyro and chicks and explosions and it was everything that was great about rock and roll, and then they got fat.
It happens, yeah.
Yes, I might have to go watch some of that tonight on YouTube.
Oh, it's great. There's a video. Oh, I think it's called Motley Crue Uncensored. That is just the high, and I'll tell you this much too, Stiz, is the best book that I've ever read, ever. Out of any book I've ever read, is Motley Crue's The Dirt. Ooh. It's an autobiography or an oral history, and what the writer did is he talked to all four members of the band and all the people around it and had them tell their stories. And like a lot of them didn't know the stories that the other ones were telling. So they were all like hooking up with each other's wives and they didn't know it. There was like one guy killed another dude, like, or Vince Neil killed a guy in a car accident and got away with it. Nikki Sixx like died, flatlined. And everyone was mourning at his house, and he woke up from the hospital and like pulled all the crap off of him and went home, and they thought he was a ghost because he was dead. It's got the whole Pam and Tommy Lee stuff where, and I'm not talking about the tape, I'm talking about like how he went to jail because he, and it's got the whole thing about him being in jail and him getting the crap beat out of him because he was the guy that like put his hands on Pamela Anderson. And then Mick Mars is just, they didn't see him for years, and all of a sudden his bones have fused together and he can't move. Oh, dude, that book is insane.
I have Nikki Sixx's book. It's pretty dark, though. Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely
yeah. Nikki Sixx is kind of depressing. The Dirt's the one you got to read. The Dirt's, as I said, out of all the books I've read, that's the best book I've ever read.
Very good.
Hands
down. Beach reading.
Yes, fantastic beach reading. All right, 617-779-7937. What were you
real
saying?
Quick, did you guys hear the rumors of Pamela Anderson? Speaking of Pamela Anderson, who she's dating now?
No.
You never guess it. One of the biggest movie stars ever.
Barack Obama.
Tom Cruise.
Wow.
I've been seeing that a lot lately. Yes.
Really?
Yes. It doesn't make any sense, but there's a lot of pictures of them together.
He went hard after a bunch of chicks, didn't he? Shakira.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Kind of like
Brady. But I just, you know, Pam Anderson, you know.
Yeah.
You know what Tom
Cruise
loves? Her
star is a little, it's dimmed.
Yeah.
It's been dimmed for a while.
There was rumors that she was with Liam Neeson when they were filming The Naked Gun together. And for some reason, I thought that was kind of cool. Like, I was like, all right, you know, two kind of older people.
Yeah.
They found love in their old age.
Liam's wife, man, an actress, she died skiing. So, you know, good for him.
Liam Neeson was in The Naked Gun?
Yeah, the new one.
Oh, the new one.
Yeah. And by the way, great movie. That was actually way better than it should have been.
Yep, the new Naked Gun.
Oh, it's very good. It's worth seeing without a question. By the way, real quick, Ted, before I change the subject one more time, Widow's Bay TV show you got to watch.
Okay,
that's a good TV show for you. It's like it's basically like a funny Stephen King haunted Maine Island show, but it's funny.
I'll check it out. Has anybody been heard about I Will Find You series on Netflix?
No, what is
that? Okay, it's interesting.
Oh, that's a Harlan Coben.
Yeah. It's based off of his books. It's filmed in Boston. But man, the first two episodes are like suck you in, like never, because you're trying to figure out. Basically, a dad gets charged for murdering his son, but he was set up, and you're trying to figure out who, what's behind it all, and it's fascinating. What was the main actor in Avatar?
Sam Worthington.
Yeah. He's the star. He's the star of it. Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Jeez,
that's how
talk
you
about
it.
A guy Avatar. Who was in like one of the biggest. Like, yeah. What's he been doing other than Avatar?
This is the first time I've really seen him. Yeah. He looks. I don't know. He looks kind of like Patrick Mahomes does right now. A little soft around. You know. It's not. You think, man, Avatar? You'd be all jacked up. You know. Sam Worthington is not jacked up.
I'm telling you, Ted. Out of all the takes that I have heard, like anybody give this year. Yours that Patrick Mahomes' best days are behind him is the one I am really looking forward to seeing how this plays out.
Dude, I'm looking at pictures of him on Twitter recently. People are calling him out for his gut, man. He's just let it go.
He's not going to start week one. He might be like midway through the year. I mean, he's coming off the serious injury.
It happened in December.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's late. So, dude, he's got to learn how to pass from the pocket. That's all I'm saying, Rich. He is not a pocket passer. And he's kind of like Aaron Rodgers in the sense that he just kind of holds the ball, and then he starts scrambling around, and he starts leaving the pocket, and that's when he gets lit up, and that's when he gets some problems.
Ted, it makes all the sense in the world, but I think that, like, there's not a lot of people saying that.
Yeah.
And it just makes all the sense.
Yeah.
First of all, no one's going to be Brady ever again. You're never going to have somebody like him who has, dude, we said it before, basically three Hall of Fame careers in one career.
Yep.
I agree with you, but everyone seems to think that he's just going to go down that route, and it's unfeasible.
Dude, I don't think he comes close to playing. What did Tom play, 22 years? I think something like that. I mean, I'd be shocked if Mahomes plays more than 15. I mean, Tom's going to play seven more years than him, is my guess, 7-8. I would be shocked if Mahomes plays more than that, just because of the way style in which he plays.
It's my favorite prediction because I'm not hearing anybody other than you do it, and it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. Too much sense.
Kermit the Frog here.
yes, thank you, Patrick Mahomes. 617-779-7937. All right, there was a guy who pissed off Jaylen Brown pretty bad. Somebody who talked about how Jaylen Brown would be the seventh best player on the Celtics, according to stats. We're actually going to have Bobby Marks, the person that Jaylen was very pissed off at, here in just a few. But Paul Pierce has chimed in about the Jaylen Brown situation. We'll play that when we get back. WEEI, Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson, 617-779-7937. We love talking to the people. Give us a call, and you can also get a hold of us on the Odyssey app, too. Press that little microphone button, launch a take grenade. That is Bobby Marks. He is a man who has pissed off Jaylen Brown pretty darn
State
good.
State your source.
Can we just agree that analytics, people, you can argue, oh, analytics, it's the eye test. It's like, but analytics, you can't debate analytics. Right. Like, they are factually accurate analytics.
Numbers don't lie,
Ted. Numbers don't lie. I mean, so you can sit there and say, you know, push back against analytics, but analytics
lies, damn lies,
do tell a story.
Yeah. You see, but you can use analytics as a tool, not as the be all end all. And because if you use it as a definite, then all of a sudden you're Craig Breslow, and you have a team that doesn't have a big bat in the middle of the lineup.
No, I agree, 100%. I'm the last guy that thinks. But I'm also trying to just make the point. Well, you know, analytics. If you crunch all the numbers, you know, will tell a story in a certain way that you can't. It's not, you can't fudge it. They're accurate because they're numbers.
But when and you're right. I mean, I do think that there is like a happy medium between the two, because I think that, you know, the numbers may say one thing. And by the way, we have Bobby Marks on. The one thing I'm going to ask is, tell me, like, what numbers is he seventh best in on the team? Like if he has like one stat that makes him the seventh, that he's in seventh place. Okay, maybe. But the seventh best player on the team, there's a whole lot of things. I mean, there's defense, there's offense, there's three-point shot. There's a million things that you could throw in there. Like, give me all of the reasons that made him seventh in there, because the eye test, as you said, and right, Ted, there's like that perfect mix, says that Jaylen Brown is by far the second best player on this team. Some people would say the best. I hear that all the time. It's a little bit of a hot take that he's better than Tatum. But, I mean, there's not even a question in my mind that he's the second best player on this team. And that's just from someone who watches the games.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know what? There is part of it that if you're a player, like, analytics can be used against you a lot. As Ted, you know, I'm sure in many a negotiation, anytime somebody tries to make you look worse than you are, they can pick and choose certain numbers and certain stats that show that, you know, you have a deficiency here. Like, I'm sure that when you sat down and had negotiations, they were ready to go, right?
No, I don't remember that. No deficiencies.
You had none.
It was time played. You know, that was what the Bill used against me in negotiation. It was, I'm going to ask you for a pay cut because you only played, 45% of the snaps. Yeah, Bill, do you remember weeks 5 through 8 I had an MCL tear and I didn't play? That's why.
Yeah.
I'm sure analytics weren't as much of a thing for me at my time, at my position, but I think certainly now they're used probably more than they ever have in negotiations.
Now, Bobby Marks, by the way, Rich, I mean, now he was the assistant GM with the Brooklyn Nets when they made the trade for Pierce and KG, so he gets lumped into that a lot.
So he's probably my favorite person on the planet.
So he's not qualified to talk about this?
But it wasn't his fault. But,
it wasn't?
I mean, so, but he responded to the Jalen tweets with, what wasn't posted was the second half of this clip saying, I'm not an analytics person, I'm an eye test guy, so, and that I would want Jalen on my team. So he feels like he was aggregated out of context.
Well, that's kind of true. I mean, yeah. They kind of, like, Jalen's getting mad at him. It's like, well, I didn't even say it. It was an analytics guy said it. And he even said in that clip that he's a eye test guy.
Right, exactly.
But I guess the problem I would have if I was Jalen Brown, and I understand this, is everyone wants to know who's saying bad things about you. Like, if somebody is going to publicly go, hey, I talked to this guy who said that you're the seventh best player on the Celtics. You know, if I'm Jalen Brown too, I'm like, well, name the guy then. Tell me who it is. Like, because I want him to be called out for being an idiot, because that's like really a dumb take, unless, you know, he can back it up with, here's the 14 stats that show that he's the seventh best player.
But do you doubt that guy exists in every NBA front office?
No.
There's some nerd
no.
in the corner
no.
that he's asked to create numbers.
Absolutely. It's going that way more and more. Hell, right, the NFL's getting more like that. I think it's not just baseball. It's basketball. It's football.
They're charting analytics. Miles per hour and bursts and everything.
Absolutely. You know? And real quick, have you guys ever thought of this? That JB only goes after the national guys?
Oh, ESPN guys.
He's never really, you know, local guys can rip him and can doubt him. Don't hear anything. But if
say something incendiary, so he'll like.
All right, yeah, I'm really. Gonna see. Yeah, do a test case. Okay, I'm gonna have to do that. Yeah.
But I mean, it is interesting because I mean like that whole thing with analytics. I didn't even know what was going on. Somebody had called in and said that there was a dude that was on Bill Simmons' podcast or whatever that was said. You know, listen, the analytics on him aren't great. But we kind of blew it off. But this guy, like Bobby Marks, saying that. I wouldn't have known about it if Jalen Brown hadn't retweeted the guy and said, this dude's an idiot.
Yeah, right,
so
right, yeah.
He can't get out of his own way, because now there's probably a few people going, well, maybe we do need to do a little inspecting on this. Well,
good point by a 617 texter. The Cavs coach said, based on the analytics, they were beating the Knicks and they lost in five. That was an amazing moment.
That's
you know?
Scary, man. that's scary that a coach thinks like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
It's the Craig Breslowing of sports, and it just does, and it's awful. And you know what? Paul Pierce agrees with me. Paul Pierce was asked about this whole thing where Jalen Brown is the seventh best player on the Celtics, and here's what Pierce had to say.
What are we doing here?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is getting ridiculous. It's gotten to the point where I'm no longer going to start watching any of these networks about sports. I'd rather, like seriously, like this is just, come on. I just feel like it's clickbait. It doesn't make sense.
He had to ask out, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't even like, bro, like, don't even make that up. Don't even make that public. Yeah. If an analytic dude said that and he told you, why would you make that public? Because it sounds silly.
Yeah.
Jalen Brown was an MVP candidate. Now, you saying, does he do the things that Luka and Wimby? Well, the stats on these guys are going to look a little different. But there's one thing you can't say about Jalen Brown. He influences winning.
Yes.
Like, regardless of the stats, he influences.
He hoops. He
winning.
Comes to work every day. He's available.
And what are we here to play this game for?
Does he influence winning? Does he?
I mean, in the regular season, sure. Yeah, the regular season. And I don't know. I don't know. Like, yeah. I mean, yes. Obviously, he's a really good player. But I don't know. I don't know if he's a closer. I don't know if he's a clinch. If he's got the clutch. Excuse me, Gene. I don't feel like he's. I mean, can you put the team on his back in the playoffs when it really counts? I still doubt.
MVP
so.
Of a couple important series there.
Okay, you know, that 2024, I wish they didn't win it, so because everyone references that. So it's kind of like,
all right. That season, they dominated the entire season.
Dude,
it was pure domination.
That was an all-around great team. It wasn't just JB. I mean, dude, it was they didn't have holes anywhere, man. And it was an easy path to get there. So it's hard for me to look at that and just use that as justification.
By the way, interesting trade Shams just announced in the NBA. The Memphis Grizzlies are trading Ja Morant to Portland for Jeremy Grant and Chris Murray. So
Portland's out then. So all those Portland.
Unless this is like a three-team deal that we're not hearing the end of. But that was one of the pieces you thought was coming back if Jalen was going to go to Portland, was Jeremy Grant for money matching.
I think John Morant needed to get out of Memphis.
Big time.
There was some, I think,
bad influences there.
Yeah, bad influences there. I think that this is a good thing. Matter of fact, send him all the way across the country. Because John Morant, I mean, talk about a player that when he first got on the scene, you were like, this dude's the next, this is the next great, next player in the NBA. I mean, he was so exciting.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just he started hanging out with a bad crowd and getting in trouble. And this is good for him, I think.
Everywhere you go, there you are.
Kevin O'Connor, that's true. Interesting Kevin O'Connor tweet
good
right
point.
Now. He says, acquiring Ja Morant feels like a setup trade to me, given all the Jaylen Brown rumors in Portland. Now, Portland could feel more comfortable sending Drew Holiday, Scoot Henderson, and Shaedon Sharpe, plus draft picks to Boston for Jaylen Brown. We'll see what happens. So,
stay tuned.
Stay tuned for that one.
They said Drew Holiday coming back here?
Yeah.
That's what Kevin O'Connor is theorizing.
I'm a fan of Drew Holiday. Big fan. There's another speculation that's out there, too, is I guess Bradley Beal just turned down his, $5 million that he would have been guaranteed. And they're speculating that maybe he would be coming to the Celtics. I know Beal and Tatum were, like, best buddies. But Beal's, like, injured all the time. But you could get him on the cheap. You could get Bradley Beal on the cheap. What does he excite you at all, Bradley Beal?
I mean, he did 5-7 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
not so much anymore, but yeah, those two are tight. You know, I don't know. I don't know what is this?
Is that like his Thanasis? Like Tatum would have his guy on the bench?
Yeah.
I guess so. I mean, what a weird. If you would have told me we were going to be talking about this a couple of months ago, I would have thought you were an absolute moron. This is insane. I can't believe we're here with this just Jaylen Brown situation. I really can't. Because it does. I'm telling you, I think that if he's going to get moved, it's going to be within the next 24 hours.
Well, what would you think if it's Portland and it's three first-round picks and those names that were mentioned? Drew
what
Holiday,
were the names again? Give it to him one more time.
Scoot Henderson, the point guard, 22-year-old point guard. Yep. Shaedon Sharpe, 23, shooting guard. He's signed for 4 years. And then Drew Holiday.
I don't see a big man.
Nope. You do
I don't
not.
See a big man
that
in any
is correct.
Of and three first-rounders?
Oh, I'm just throwing that in. I mean, Kevin O'Connor says draft picks.
I mean, at least there's a couple of quality players that are in there, but I still think you're not getting.
No, it's going to be a tough sell. That is a very tough sell.
That is a tough sell. All right, 617-779-7937. We're going to have that guy who Bobby Marks, who pissed off Jaylen Brown, on with us, just to at least explain himself, and maybe we'll make him state his source. You know, we'll do Jaylen a solid, and maybe then he'll tweet about you there, Ted. We'll do that then. All right, we'll take your calls next, 617-779-7937.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic. It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Pitch is swung on and driven into the gap in left center field. That is down for extra bases. Massa comes home. Seydon being waved in. It's a two-run double. Wilson! And it's 4-0 Red Sox.
Let's go. Inject that in your veins, Rich.
I thought of Will Fleming when I was watching some of the games this weekend. I'm like, oh, he has just got to be so ecstatic. Because
do you blame him?
Yeah. No, I don't. There was a clip that we played. What was it? The first game of which series was it that they just had? Where he lost his mind out of nowhere. He like freaked
out. Payoff pitches. Swung on and driven. High and deep into left field.
I mean, he went all in, and I don't blame Will Fleming at all. Will Fleming is an excellent broadcaster, but I kept thinking of him like, I guarantee you there are going to be a buttload of Willgasms from over the weekend. And Stiz, you say you've got a couple of them?
Oh yeah, Jackson got us a few.
Okay, let's hear a little bit of Will losing his mind on a Yankees sweep weekend.
This place was alive as Siegler skies one high and deep and a left field. It is way back. It's gone! Up Oladipo for Siegler. A solo shot. Garrett Cole can't keep it in the park at Fenway. And it's 2-0 Red Sox.
I do kind of like
that's,
the Oppo.
That's Ted's Oppo. Guy, too. You like Siegler. He's got some energy.
I mean, dude, he, you know what? He's getting his chance, his opportunity. He's going to make the most of it. He's all fired up, man, you know?
Yeah.
Why not? Hey, you got to generate it, whoever you are. If no one else is doing it, then damn it, you be the guy.
Nice.
Yep. That was a 6 out of 10 Willgasm. I think that
we've
was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oink, that, oink.
Oink, oink.
But that was the day game against Cole. That was juicy. And more important than even that, Rich, Yankees fans quiet all weekend.
All
angry,
weekend.
Quiet. There were a lot of them there. They couldn't celebrate at all. They had like 3 hits a game.
That is pretty awesome. Not gonna lie.
Let's hear another one, Stiz.
And now Contreras is having words with Will Warren. Almost came up and in.
I guess they thought that pitch was too close.
It might not be Veritek and A-Rod, but Contreras is the bench is empty. Warren is screaming over at Contreras after that pitch came up, and now the most tired act in baseball is the bullpen's empty.
Yes, there's entirely too much testosterone running around on the field.
A lot of voices there.
That's the boo swap. So that was Susan Waldman from FAN in with
say.
Joe Castiglione and Will Friday night.
Okay.
You're not going to hear me crap on Susan Waldman at all anymore, because I thought, you know, as much as I used to make fun of her with that, Roger Clemens is here! I think what she did in John Sterling's later years was like one of like the sweetest, nicest things she could do, because Sterling obviously couldn't see. Like he was like blind or something. Right. So there would be a player who goes, it's out of here! And then it would just like, and she's like, well, actually, you know, what really happened, and she was, like, super nice.
Super nice about it. Let him down easy.
she really was just, like, she protected the guy. And ever since then, I'm like, you know what, Susan Waldman, you're all right.
And think of how many times probably Susan opted not to say something that he messed up on, right? So
yes.
If she was correcting him, then it was probably 1 out of every 10 times he messed up.
Right.
You know?
She would say, like, boy, you know, from this angle, it sure did look like it was out, and you would see it on TV, and it was nowhere near the wall. All right, let's go to another Willgasm.
One out of Massa's 3 for 10 against him. He drives one high and deep into right field. This thing is cranked at the warning track at the wall. Sayonara! A leadoff homer for Massa. Welcome back to Fenway, Garrett Cole.
Nice little dig in there, Garrett.
Yeah, that's an 8 out of 10. He smoked a cigarette after that one. that's a good one, Will. And you know what? That was awesome. And you know the attitude matched the play itself.
That's why his home run calls are fun though. It's like, it's up. It looks like it's gonna be the wall. It's out of here. And then when the opponent like smashes one. That's out. Like, just don't even give it a.
And that was
it blows. It's a volcano. It's kind of a good. Yeah. It erupts.
Yeah. That's what it is.
All right, do we have one more?
I just want to play this one more time. What we started off, because this was my personal favorite
it's
from
crazy.
The weekend.
Payoff pitch is swung on and driven high and deep into left field. It is off the top of the wall.
How that can, one you need paper. That one needs paper towels.
What about
yeah, that,
how can be off
one.
The top of the wall yeah, and
man,
still be out of here?
Yeah, it was good. Hits that line.
Am I? Okay. I think off the top of the wall, it's back into play and for a stand-up double, but no, it's out of here. Okay.
But you know what? I love what Rob Bradford said, because you can kind of feel it too. Is that, you know, he said that he actually heard people for the first time in forever just talking about the Red Sox right. out and about.
The heartbeat is back.
Yeah, I mean, it was such a cool weekend to do it. It was a great weekend where you've got, obviously when it's against the Yankees, it means a little more. And a super dramatic Sunday night baseball made it so, you know, that a national audience got it. You're pissed off the New York Yankees fans. This is one of the few times where you heard a Yankees suck chant. You're like, all right, okay.
And last night, I'm a sucker for Joe Castig was back in the booth. And he got the extra inning call and he got a can you believe it, which was perfect. For that game. That was a can you believe it type of win.
I'm amazed. Joe totally. just still with it, man. He's got
dude,
he is clear and he just I thought it was a great final call.
Swing a line drive to right field, base hit, ball game over. Red Sox have swept the Yankees. The final 5-4 as he beat the two-man outfield lining one right where the right fielder would normally play. Deep enough anyway to score, and the Red Sox walk it off 5-4 on Garen Durand's single to right field, and the Red Sox have completed a four-game sweep. Can you believe it?
No, you can't after probably the lowest point. I'm hearing the two of you right now, Rich, both you and Ken, kind of all getting a little worked up.
Did you like my trade suggestion? Jeremy Pena, you got some family in Houston. What about the shortstop? He's got a year left on his deal. You still can trade some pieces, but you still need a shortstop right now?
I looked at the standings, and Bradford was right. Why would the Astros trade him?
Because they know like the Celtics, they're not good enough. So they want prospects.
Okay, all right.
You give them your young double-A prospect, if need be, Franklin Arias, and you say, you know what, we're closer to winning than you are. Look at our pitching staff.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give you our prospect. You give us your big league-ready guy who you're not going to sign long term, and it makes a win-win for both franchises.
I would like that deal.
And you get a right-handed bat, and that's what you need. You need some spark right now.
Boy, it's too bad that we couldn't sign a big bat in the offseason, so we got to give up all of our precious pitching prospects. Yeah, that's going to suck, man.
I know that happens. And it was kind of cool, like, to hear afterwards. Do you have the Sonny Gray clip by any chance where he's talking about how, like, you know, he's obviously, to get up there, for a minute I was like, this dude had every right to, like, key the cars of every player on that team if they would have blown that game for him. I mean, he was so damn good, and I thought they were going to blow it for him. And you said, is this the worst loss? No, but I would have felt awful for Sonny Gray after going out there and doing what he did.
Totally, that would have been the worst loss to me. You have longest no-hit bid ever, and then Chapman blows it, and Abreu's airmailing guys.
Yeah, I wouldn't key Chapman's car. I wouldn't key that car.
We'd be talking, I mean, they had a chance to bunt a guy over in the ninth. They didn't. Double play. I mean, there were some things in that game you'd be crushing this team for today if they don't come back and win.
But the Yankees made more mistakes. Yeah. That's the crazy thing.
Yeah. By the way, Chapman, did you see him trying to run after that Wilder Abreu?
Yeah.
He's limping.
I'm cautioning you guys to get all excited. It was the series before the New York series where they lost to the Rockies, a worse team than you. And that was literally the series before the Yankee series. And the way you guys are talking is if they've won like 20 in a row.
You can't be mad today, Ted. Today's one day you have to just let it. You have to enjoy a little bit.
Is this the start of something?
No, I didn't say that.
All right. We got the Nationals that are, you know, 500.
I'm excited because I have to work in the place, in the building that all of those people are around. Like, it's like, it sucks when the team stinks.
You're right.
And having to be in that building.
I know.
And just like, Chad Tracy comes in, and you're like, I'm sorry, man. We got to ask you some crap questions that are really crappy.
Yeah.
So like that kind of, and also, you know, listen, the games sometimes air when our show airs. I want the team to be good. Mm-hmm. I don't want people to go, no, I'm not going to listen to this.
All aboard the Tracy train, 2:30 tomorrow,
yep,
Ted.
Yep,
our
yep.
guy.
Please, that would be nice. But I did like what Gray had to say afterwards. This was pretty cool.
Yeah, I think in the sixth inning or something, they started really like getting into it, and that was cool. I appreciated that. I appreciated that. And then, you know, I didn't know. I mean, I did give up a hit, and I didn't know if I was going to keep going, and then I saw Trace coming out, and I was like, I guess this is in the road for me, but I appreciate them, and it seemed like they appreciated the outing tonight, and we need them. We're gonna get back into this thing. We need them, and they were here for us this weekend, so I appreciate that.
There you go.
Does he sound like somebody, like an NFL coach you can think of? He just
McVay or something like that.
McVay,
yeah.
He sounds
McDaniels.
Like Sean McVay.
You're right. He does.
I think he sounds like McDaniels a little bit.
A little bit.
Then
we
lose a Super Bowl.
No, see, yeah, McVay sounds like a Fraggle. Like he sounds like a Muppet when McVay talks.
Can you do a mashup of the two real quick? I don't know. I'm curious. He's from Smyrna, Tennessee.
Yeah,
Smyrna.
Man, we need them. We're gonna get back into this thing. We need them, and they were here for us this weekend, so I appreciate that.
Then we lose a Super Bowl. You know, you go to the Super Bowl our second year, 2000.
That's pretty good. I think that's it right there, man.
Excellent. It's not bad. Yeah, not bad. All right, we are not going anywhere. Back in two.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.